Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for starting it with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Haphagger.
Good morning.
A little bit later, we got some entertainment news for you lined up. We'll wrap up the show with some That Ain't Right stories, some good stories of the day. All of that is coming up for just you. But right now, you know how we start off Mondays at, in the 9 o'clock hour. Kitchen's open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's Monday, March 13th, and we want to open our segment today by thanking our sponsors. The Kitchen's Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering. Chatterbox Catering is a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
If you have a wedding, graduation, family reunion, or really any party coming up, you'll want to talk to Kathy at Chatterbox. If you're missing their regular restaurant right now during Lent, they're doing a Friday fish fry to go.
Yes, that's right. Well, they're not a regular restaurant anymore, and I have been mistaken about that up to this point, so I apologize to our listeners. Chatterbox has become a catering-only business, mm-hmm. but they have their full fish fry menu on Fridays, and you can order their delicious homemade food to take home and enjoy. Just call 715-712-3393 to place your order, and we'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to talk about milk.
Milk.
Yes, milk.
Why milk?
Because milk is a delicious food, but a controversial topic right now. It's also an important part of many people's daily diet and a great ingredient in the kitchen.
Wait a minute. Back up. Controversial? How is milk controversial?
Well, there's a bill before Congress about what can be called milk right now.
But milk is milk.
You're right. Well, what about soy milk, almond milk, oat milk, and so on and so forth?
Oh, I see what you mean.
The bill is called the Dairy Pride Act. Now, we live in the dairy state, and if the term milk being used for something other than the dairy version is negatively affecting our farmers, then perhaps something needs to be done about it.
Mm.
I just found it interesting because as someone who can't drink milk or I become ill to the point I don't want to live anymore, the language they use to talk about the issue and the importance of the bill is very much from the viewpoint of people who can drink milk and love life at the same time.
Ah, I get it.
So I mentioned the bill because that's what got me thinking down this road of milk and all the wonderful things it brings to our kitchen and our lives. I think it's important to give context to the bill they're discussing, and I will give you my unequivocal opinion on it. But the important thing we're going to talk about today is milk in all its forms.
Like butter, cheese, yogurt, chocolate milk, ice cream.
Yeah.
Did I mention cheese?
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Believe me. No, I love all of those things and would love to eat them regularly if I could. My grandfather was a dairy farmer, and I remember helping in the barn when I was little. My favorite thing is when Grandma would push the milk separator down the aisle behind the cows, and it had like this yellow lid, and there was a ball inside of it, and as the milk would go through, it would, I don't know, there was like the foam and stuff that got collected on the top, and she'd open that up. And it had like this, I don't know, it was a paper thing.
Hmm.
She'd pull the paper thing out and dump all of that excess foam and stuff into a dish for the barn cats. And the barn cats would come running from all over, and there'd be like, I don't know, a dozen of them just lapping up all of that foam. It was so cool. It was my favorite thing.
Oh, that's so cute. So were you able to eat things with dairy in them when you were a kid?
Yes. Although I understand now why I had some issues as a child. It didn't really get bad to the point that I figured it out until I was in my early 20s. Some people, as they age, don't produce as much of the enzyme lactase. That's the enzyme that allows your intestines to break down lactose or milk sugar. So this can cause all manner of gastrointestinal problems that vary from person to person.
So it's not really an allergy then?
No. Thankfully, it's just an intolerance. But it's severe enough for me that I mostly avoid dairy when at all possible to make my stomach happy and to be able to be around people. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. We probably more than what we needed to know anyway, so let's keep moving on here.
Yes, please. Let's talk about the wonderful world of milk. We'll start with dairy milk.
Well, I know that dairy milk is supposed to be really good for you. It's a good source of protein, calcium, and phosphorus. It has vitamin D, B, as well as small amounts of vitamin C and D.
Yes, and commercial cow's milk is often enriched with vitamins A and D before they sell it.
But it's not just cows that produce milk. What about goats and sheep?
Yes, the actual definition of milk from the Encyclopedia Britannica is milk, liquid secreted by the mammary glands of female mammals to nourish their young for a period beginning immediately after birth.
Hey, did you know that in Asia they milk water buffalo? And in the Middle East and North Africa, they get milk from camels.
I did not know that. We're so used to cows that seems like the animal to get dairy from.
So Mel, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines milk as a fluid secreted by the mammary glands of females for the nourishment of their young. But it also says a food product produced from seeds or fruit that resembles and is used similarly to cow's milk. And if you keep reading, it says a liquid resembling milk in appearance, such as the latex of a plant or the contents of an unripe kernel of grain.
Interesting. Milk can also be used as a verb, like milking a water buffalo or milking venom from a snake.
Milk the joke for all it's worth.
Exactly. Milk can even be used as an adjective. These camels are bred primarily for milk production.
Well, great. Now I want to try some camel milk.
I kind of want to try it, too. I wonder if it contains less lactose.
Actually, Mel, a quick Google search says camel's milk contains less lactose than cow's milk.
Oh, all right. Now I just need to find a camel.
But there's no doubt that milk, whichever mammal you choose to get it from, can be beneficial part of your diet.
Absolutely, especially things like yogurt. This fermented form of milk is really good for your gut microbiome.
So why do you think there's all of this controversy about the word milk?
Well, I read that Senator Tammy Baldwin wrote about the Dairy Pride Act and what she wrote about it. And I see that Representative Derek Van Orden has signed on supporting the bill. Mostly what they talk about is the need for consumers to know what they're buying. Senator Baldwin went so far as to state that imitation products use dairy's good name without meeting the nutritional standards.
But they already enrich cow's milk. Don't they enrich plant milk, too?
Yeah, but it's based on the sources I found. Cow's milk is more complete in some ways. For instance, it's a more complete protein source because it has a full profile of essential amino acids. The only plant-based milk that is considered a complete protein is hemp milk. Mm. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but I was not a fan of the taste. Granted, it was the shelf-stable version, and those are never as good as fresh. That even includes dairy milk.
Well, I haven't tried it, and I'm guessing not a lot of children who are the primary consumers of dairy's milk have tried it either. Dairy milk, being a good source of vitamin D, calcium, and protein, is important for their growth and development. Most kids are not going to drink milk that doesn't taste like, well, milk.
Very true. So let's look at this comparison I found on nutrition.org that looks at the differences between one cup of whole milk, whole-fat cow's milk, against plant-based milks.
So it looks like the only plant milk that has as many calories as cow's milk is oat.
Yes, almond, rice, coconut, hemp, and cashew milk all have lower calories. This may be a reason to buy a different milk, but calories aren't everything.
Most of them have less fat than cow's milk, except hemp.
Let's not go there. All are lower in sugar except oat and hazelnut.
They don't add sugar to cow's milk?
Well, no. It's naturally occurring. Remember, that's what lactose is, milk sugar.
Oh, yeah. Now, this isn't true of the sweetened and flavored plant milks, though.
No. Much like chocolate milk, they add sugar to any plant-based milk that doesn't have the word unsweetened on the container. If it's vanilla flavored, you can guarantee they've added sugar.
Mm-hmm. And now soybean, pea, and flaxseed have more protein than cow's milk.
Yes, but it's not the complete protein because of the amino acids. And they all have comparable sodium, except my favorite, coconut, which is much lower.
A cup of cow milk has as much potassium as a small banana, which is comparable to soy milk. But pea protein milk has more.
Yep, and almond, pea, and flaxseed milk have more calcium than cow milk.
So, to sum it up, plant-based milks tend to have fewer calories, less fat, except hemp and maybe coconut, more water content, less protein, except soy, and some are fortified with other vitamins and nutrients.
That sounds about right.
That's a lot of label reading, Melissa.
Agreed. And that's what it boils down to, Beth. If you want to know what's in the beverage you're drinking, you need to read the label.
As a parent, it's nice to know that if my child can tolerate milk, it's a good thing for them to be drinking it.
For sure. And if not, it's probably on the parent to read the label to be sure that they're getting the right amount of nutrients suggested for their age and development. I think that's part of the reason for the bill they're introducing. That and the dairy industry. Personally, I don't care what you call plant-based milk. They can call it plant juice for all I care. I'm just glad there's an alternative for someone like me that can't enjoy dairy milk without suffering for days afterward.
Would that be a solution? They could just change the labeling to dairy milk and plant milk.
I don't know, Beth. That's a great idea, though. If you, our listeners, have thoughts on what a solution might be, feel free to write your senator or representative and share your thoughts.
Well, Mel, haven't even touched on the environmental impacts of cow milk versus plant milk.
True, but that might be a segment for another day. I think we should move on to the recipe section of our segment.
Excellent. Let's do it.
So my favorite dairy-based recipe is my mom's rice pudding. It's 4 cups water, 4 cups milk, 1 cup rice, 1 cup sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You bring this to a boil and then slow it down to a simmer for about 45 minutes. Stir it once in a while so it doesn't get stuck to the kettle. When the rice is done, take it off the burner and add 1 teaspoon of vanilla. Then pour it in a large casserole dish and sprinkle lightly with cinnamon and nutmeg.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, it's so good. I have the recipe in a cookbook that my mom made for all of us with pictures and everything
Aww.
In it. So it's really sweet. I love this cookbook. But she shared the story of when my older brother thought it'd be funny to switch the cinnamon and the chili powder around in the cupboard. And she accidentally put chili powder on top of the rice pudding without realizing it. Once we figured it out and he was found out to be the culprit, Mom scraped off the tops of all of our puddings, and that's what he had for dessert that night.
I bet that really spiced him up.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't eat much rice growing up. Believe it or not, milk was a key ingredient of a different one of my mom's recipe. A classic pasta dish.
Ooh.
Settle down, James. It wasn't spaghetti or linguine or anything like that. It was her sauce for macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yum.
So my mom always made mac and cheese on top of the stove instead of baking it. She was one of those cooks who didn't really like to use recipes. She did it more on the eyeballing it side. So and then just kind of tasted it along the way. But the best I can guesstimate at what her proportions were is that she would melt about 1 cup of Velveeta cheese and about 1 cup of milk, and then add 2 of tablespoons of butter. It was all melted together, and once it was made into that nice sauce, she would put the noodles in. I loved that mac and cheese growing up, and to me, it tasted so much better than the box stuff. It just, didn't measure up. And as I started to make the recipe for myself and for my boys, I decided to change it up a little bit. I still used dairy, but it was mostly sour cream with just a dash of milk instead of just milk with a Velveeta. Ooh. It's become one of my two sons' favorite, but Seth's sister and her family, they just love it every time I make it.
I bet that sour cream makes it really rich.
It really does.
Well, and then a lot of these recipes, depending on the website that you look at, if it's from the dairy industry, they're going to tell you that plant milks can't stand up to milk in any recipe. That's not really true, because the innovations that they've made with developing plant milks and what they are now, or plant juice, whatever you want to call them, they work really great as a substitute in recipes for baking for a lot of these dishes that you make at home. Even mac and cheese, if you can, you know, handle the cheese but not the milk, which I don't know why you'd be able to do one but not the other. But The only caveat is some of them don't heat as well, which you'll find out if you go to a coffee shop. And sometimes I think I've experienced soy milk usually does the best.
Okay.
At heating.
For like lattes and things like that.
Correct. Yeah. But my favorite thing to do with like coconut milk is, of course, to make curry. Because I just love curry and all things curry. I made a lentil soup last night, and it turned into curry flavored lentil soup. I'm just pathetic. But well, we want to send out a big thank you to our sponsors, Chatterbox Catering, for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox and she will find you the perfect menu for your party. I have no doubt that she can tailor your catering menu to your dietary needs, whether it's milk, dairy, or dairy milk, or anything otherwise.
Yes, for sure. Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering, cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Another great episode. Thank you so very much for all that great information throughout that. The recipes were great, and I really appreciate the time you took talking about that bill, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Nice work.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting.
Yeah,
that was good stuff. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with some entertainment news. We'll talk Oscars. We'll talk Flintstones. We'll talk Billy Joel. All that coming up. Keep on listening every Monday right around this time for The Kitchen's Open. Again, a big shout out to Chatterbox Catering. Take a break. Mm-hmm. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. James J. here with you, joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We're going to talk some entertainment news now, and of course, we have to start with the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And we go into it with telling you that there's not a whole lot of other movies to talk about. There's pretty much one movie that won everything last night. It was kind of expected, and it pretty much happened. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once won most of the Oscars it was up for, specifically 7 out of 11, including Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
The only acting award it did not win was Best Actor. They didn't have a nominee in that category. Brendan Fraser won that for The Whale, mm-hmm. Which was pretty much the consensus pick.
Right.
That's who I voted for. That's who most people voted for. Brendan's speech, I have not gotten to see it yet, of course, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. I think this is the first time I've missed the Oscars in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This kidney stone, which is still bothering me, kept me from being able to really just watch and enjoy the show. And I wanted to watch mainly because I wanted to see Brendan Fraser and Angela Bassett accept their awards. But Angela Bassett didn't win.
She didn't.
Jamie Lee Curtis won.
She did.
Now, quick note about Brendan Fraser. Not only is this a big deal and unheard of, nobody, including Brendan, would have thought this was going to happen 20 years ago, mm-hmm. in part because of some of the movie choices maybe that Brendan was taking and that kind of thing. But many people do not know that Brendan Fraser, we didn't see him for a while because he was blackballed.
Yep.
Because he came out and said that there were some people that were he was sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, men, we're not supposed to have that happen to us, you know? So
right.
it happens to a guy, well, that is unheard. We can't have that. And all of a sudden, nobody knows how to talk to Brendan Fraser. Nobody knows how to cast him or see him or treat him like a normal human being, which is all that they needed to do.
Right.
But instead, his career got hurt by this because he came out and talked about it, because he came out and brought a light to it. This is 10, 15 years before Me Too. This is mm-hmm. a long time before that moment. And there's a lot of people, including myself, that worried that we were never going to see him in a movie again.
Right.
And I think that it's not only noteworthy to his perseverance, to him sticking through and working at it, to the people that gave him opportunities. Doom Patrol is an amazing TV show. It's the best comic book TV show or superhero TV show I've ever seen. And he has a role on that,
okay.
where he does a character on it. And that kind of helped him a little bit get a little more work again,
mm-hmm.
after The Mummy and all that stuff and everything. So it's very noteworthy, I think. And a big congratulations to Brendan Fraser. He has earned it and deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
does Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie
yes.
Curtis is an incredible actor and has had great work for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing against her winning. Angela Bassett is one of the greatest actors I've ever seen in my life. And every time a black woman or Angela Bassett or somebody like her is up for one of these roles, I hear the same thing. She's so talented. We just figure we'll get her the next time. That's what they said during Malcolm X. That's what they said during et cetera, and it happens to her every single time.
Mm.
And it's not just her. It happens to black women all the time. If you don't believe me, everybody, that's fine. That's okay. I don't care. I'll just give you a little bit of a stat here that came out of the Oscars last night, even though I did not watch them. Ruth Carter made history as the first black woman to win 2 Oscars.
Mm.
Two.
Two.
She won for Best Costume Design for both the Black Panther movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only African-American woman in the history, in the 95-year history of the Oscars, that has won 2 Oscars.
Right.
That's it. Like, if you need more evidence, I can keep going. But when we talk about representation, when we talk about how important it is in those rooms to have people that aren't just all look, that don't look the same,
mm-hmm.
this is why. This is part of also the reason why I don't put much stock under these award shows.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chance to sell movies to you. That's what it is. It isn't a chance, what it's supposed to be. What it was back in the day was supposed to be a chance for us to honor the excellence in the craft.
Right.
Back in the day, you had nothing but great performances. So it really stood out like, hey, this performance right here, that's why it stands out so much, because all these performances are great. Not just the people that were nominated, but everybody that was in a movie this year was good. So we're just going to we had to knock it down to this list, and here we go, and here's the person, and this way we can honor them and move on. But it isn't fair. They haven't been doing it correctly for way too dang long. So you get things like this. Michelle Yeoh won for Best Actress. Incredibly happy for her. That's fantastic. You take a step forward and two steps back with so many of these award shows, with the Oscars every single year, it seems to do this. Got a long ways to go. I do want to say a big congratulations to Jamie Lee Curtis, because I really enjoy her work. I like Jamie Lee. I was just talking last week about how much I like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Oh, she's wonderful.
You can do two things at once. I can say that I respect Jamie Lee Curtis. She deserves an Oscar. She earned this. While at the same time saying, I didn't see a better acting performance last year than what Angela Bassett did in Wakanda Forever. I don't know if I saw a better female performance last year than what she did. You saw her best part in that movie in the trailer, and it was still alarming. I get goosebumps thinking about it. It's a superhero movie, so they don't want to give it credit for that, and I get that. But give the actor their due.
Right.
Give the actor their flowers. I'm sorry, Angela Bassett deserved this over Jamie Lee Curtis. And not by much, but she deserved it. Happy for Jamie Lee. Congratulations to her. Sorry, it ain't right, though. And I feel very, very bad for Angela Bassett, because she deserves to have her flowers. It's interesting to see some of the notes that are coming out of the Oscars, especially when you didn't get to see them. Like, this is weird for me. I'm used to going over this and like giving you my own takes or my own feelings out of it or something like that. I didn't see, so I don't know.
Well, there's a bit of an irony in this, because at the beginning of the show, the joke was made by
Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you. About two Oscar nominees coming out of the movie Encino Man, which was Brendan Fraser, the actor who actually ended up winning as Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once, who played Short Round in Raiders of the Lost Ark, was in Goonies, and it was so great to see him up there. And the speeches this year really talked about, especially from those that were not your typical Caucasian winners, was that dreams come true. And he talked about he is the American dream, because he had to live a year in an internment camp. He was an immigrant, and he persevered with his dream, and now look where he was.
His story is not only noteworthy for the things you mentioned there, Beth, but again, the perseverance of this industry. I don't expect people to give credit to it or anything like that. We do what we do. You know, you don't get credit for doing what you're, you know, that kind of thing necessarily. But there are so many other things you can do in life, and you don't have to keep pushing this and keep trying for this. But you do it because this is what matters to you. This is where your passion lies. I've never met a good actor that chose this profession. It chose us. And there's something about that. And when it comes to this, his story is the definition of that to me.
Yep.
He was labeled as this. He was labeled as that throughout his whole career. He was even labeled in the last couple of years. Like, it's not like this is old history or anything like that. And here he is now with that Oscar. And then and then another noteworthy thing, Harrison Ford presented Best Picture when went to Everything Everywhere. And Indiana Jones and Short Round shared a near hug nearly 40 years after the Temple of Doom. They had a wonderful moment there where Harrison and Kwan, who we're talking about here, got to hug each other. And that was really cool. People think Angela Bassett was shading Jamie Lee Curtis after losing Best Supporting Actor to her. That was not the case. Angela had come out and said right away, even before the Oscars, that she thought Jamie Lee deserved to win, and that she thought her performance was incredible, that they are friends. So that was not the case.
But she gets to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's human.
I think it's completely understandable when an actress who has given her whole life to this craft and has been in this position multiple times and knows that how good she is. She's got to know how good she is. And to lose to people who are not as good. I'm sorry, but not as good and didn't give as good of a performance. Like, that's what are we doing if we're doing? Then just give it to the people you want it to. Don't quit lying to us about, you know, nominees. Just give it to the person or to the white person that you want to give it to then. If that's the case. Lady Gaga stopped on the red carpet to help a photographer who fell. Then later she completely ditched her pre-show glam to perform Hold My Hand in a t-shirt, ripped jeans, and no makeup.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good on her for doing these things. It's interesting to see how far she has come from the meat suit to and now she's really promoting, hey, ladies, you ain't got to wear makeup. Yeah. Hey, you don't have to have this. You don't have to have that and that kind of thing.
I think it's cool. To go to the internet to look up who the singer was for that song because I did not recognize her. Because I'm so used to her being glammed up to do what she does.
Right.
So some noteworthy stuff.
The speech that got me, that I just thought, and I'm like, okay, everybody needs to do this from now on, is the winners of the best song were from an Indian film. Mm-hmm. And it was an Indian song. And the writer gets up there and says that he's always loved the Carpenters. Mm. And so he sings his acceptance speech to the Carpenters song On Top of the World.
Yeah.
It was cool. Wonderful.
That's cool. That is very well done. That is very smart. I like that.
And obviously some planning ahead there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go over the list one time for you. Best Picture, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best Animated Film went to Guillermo Toro's Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. That's all. I did get to see, because class was in, my students were doing something, so I look at the Oscars, and I did get to see him win for Best Animated Film, and I get to see Kwan win for Best Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. Those are the only things I got to see, but those are both great speeches. Guillermo Toro, a very similar story to what we were talking about with Kwan and some of those other things too. Best Director went to Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schneint for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm-hmm. Best Actor went to Brendan Fraser for The Whale. Best Actress Michelle Yao for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best Supporting Actor Ki Hwa Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Best Supporting Actor Jamie Lee Curtis, same movie. Best Original Screenplay went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. And best editing also went to them. Best costume went to Black Panther. And best makeup and hair went to The Whale. Mm-hmm. Moving on to Billy Joel, the piano man. Mr. Billy Joel now.
Okay.
And Billy Joel, I don't know if we're going to agree with him on this one. Do you love everything Billy Joel has ever done? Well, here's someone who doesn't agree with you. Billy Joel.
Good for him.
If he could, Billy would delete at least 25% of his catalog.
Wow.
He says, quote, "I've written some real stinkers. I wish I could take back. Sometimes I'd get 6 or 7 songs I thought were pretty darn good, and then there'd be a couple of squeeze outs at the end of just to fill out an album. I realize now I shouldn't have done that." What are some of these least favorite songs he mentioned? Well, he did mention two of them. When in Rome from the 1989 album Stormfront, and You Were the One from the 1980 album Glass Houses. Billy is currently on tour with Stevie Nicks, but it's not a farewell tour. In fact, that's something you'll never see from him. He says, quote, "I have a disdain for capitalizing on that. Let me threaten that this will be the end, and then I'll make more money. I've seen bands so many times announce their farewell tours, and then they just never go away. I've seen a couple of the Who farewells at this point." More power to him for that last part there. I admire that. It's very easy money to say last tour and all that stuff and everything. And I think that this speaks to what so many artists understand. We are our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea that he's owning this and everything, but I have a hard time believing that. I don't know those songs necessarily, but I bet that they got their moments to them. And every artist has bad.
Right.
Every actor has a bad movie or a bad performance. Every musician has a bad song. Like,
And his bad is probably better than a lot of people's good.
Yeah.
So.
And obviously a lot of people liked those songs.
Yes.
I mean, there's probably somebody out there that likes it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he's still in concert because he gives a wonderful, wonderful concert.
It's good for him to be that, just talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Thanks for kicking off the week here with us at 97.5 FM. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Wrapping up our entertainment segment here, I just wanted to touch on one last thing. The new Flintstones cast.
Ooh.
As you may have heard, the great Elizabeth Banks is working on a Flintstones reboot called Bedrock, with Elizabeth herself voicing Pebbles. This will be an animated show.
Oh.
The rest of the cast was announced. The rest of the cast was announced over the weekend. Stephen Root and Amy Sedaris will be Fred and Wilma. Stephen Root is one of the greatest character actors of all time. You know him as Jimmy James on News Radio. If you, Oh Brother, We're Out Thou, he was the blind producer. What was it, on King of the Hill, he was he did the voice of, I want to say, Boomhauer, I think. I know he did one of the voices on there. No, he did the voice of the guy, the bigger guy, or the bald guy and stuff.
Okay.
But he's done voice acting. He's done it all. He's one of the greats. Amy Sedaris is incredibly funny.
Goodness.
Very good actor. Most recently, you've seen her on The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
They've given her a bigger part this last couple of seasons, too. It's been pretty cool. She's a great actor. Very funny. Joe Lo Truegla and Nicole Byer are going to be Barney and Betty Rubble, both incredibly good actors. And Manny Jacinta is going to be their son, Bam Bam. I'm not sure about Manny, but great actors they got in this one.
He was in The Good Place.
Okay. Oh, that's right. He was. Yes. Yeah. He was great on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All really top-notch actors. And all great voice actors, too. Joe is from The State, and he's done a ton of other stuff as well. He's been behind the camera a little bit. It should be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a good cast, at least. I don't know. I'm not sure what the network this is going to be on or any of that stuff or anything. But, I mean, if they're going to keep remaking things, if they're going to remake animated stuff, it's not as bad to me as remaking some of these movies. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll see how that goes, though. It should be interesting.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah. I think they're going a lot with nostalgia. What is it? Because our generation is getting older, and so they're doing a lot more throwbacks to when we were kids to try to draw us back in.
With very popular voices and talent.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wanted to touch on this story, too. One of Scotland's oldest fox hunts has come to an end after 252 years following the introduction of new law on hunting. The Hunting with Dogs Bill, which went into effect earlier this week after being passed in January, outlaws hunting and killing wild mammals using packs of dogs, except in limited circumstances. Following its introduction, the Lakeshire and Rhynewant hunt, which first met in the 1700s, announced it had held its final meet.
Hmm.
And a congratulations to them for catching up with the rest of us in times. This is not a knock at hunting. Hunting is not at all. To me, they're two completely different topics, what these people were doing and what hunting is. Hunting, I don't have to explain hunting to people out there. You know what that is. What this is hey, there's a fox all by itself. I'm going to spend 20 to 30 dogs to go get the dog, to corner the fox, oftentimes kill the fox, and then I go over there and hold the fox up like I did something.
Right.
Like, look at me. I'm an alpha male. Look, I destroyed something smaller than me. Look how powerful I am. I'm bigger than the fox was. Like, I mean, just one of the more pathetic excuses for quote-unquote sport or hunting that I've ever heard of in my life. And this is a good story, but it you don't get credit for doing something in 2023 that you should have been doing back in the 1900s.
Well, that sounds like it's more entertainment than hunting.
Yeah, it's not even, they call it hunting.
Mm-hmm.
They call it this, but it's not hunting. And if I were a hunter, this would insult me as much as when I see this quote unquote big game hunting and I see somebody in Africa sit next to an elephant that they quote unquote hunted and they quote unquote killed when really they didn't do jack. They're just a rich person who had this all set up for them and all they had to do was pull a trigger, which any fool can pull a trigger. Anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
A true hunter, there's actual art to it. There's actual work that goes into it. If I was a true hunter, those types of people would insult me and would hold back what I'm trying to promote.
No, and back in the day when those, 1700s, that was a chance for rich people to show off their wealth and their horses and get out and enjoy, air quotes, nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pathetic.
It's not about hunting.
No.
Every single person that has ever contributed or been a part of that is a coward to me. I don't care what their backstory is or what their life is. If you took part in something like that, you're a coward. You're a coward. There's no getting around it. We have words for a reason. They have a definition to them. The definition of coward, go ahead and look it up. You'll see. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with some That Ain't Right stuff. In fact, one story that Melissa thought was such a That Ain't Right story, she had to, like, no, we got to do this one, James. We got a That Ain't Right story even from Mel coming up.
All right.
Yeah, it's all coming up for you here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. James, Melissa, Beth here with you at 9:48 on the clock. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour. We'll have CBS News. And then, as we do every Monday, it's Playmakers. Join us for our sports talk show. You guys call up, join the conversation at 424-2600. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Call up and join the conversation. Randy Paul, my partner in sports, is going to be hanging out. Randy will have some local coverage for you. We'll talk Marquette basketball. We'll talk River Kings. And we're going to talk all the news that is going on with the NFL draft. All that coming up for you, and whatever you want to talk about, you call up, and you can change the conversation anytime you want by calling up during Playmakers. And a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. Shout out to the best co-host that you could ask for, Melissa Kay. Mel is always doing, you know, work on this show. And I think that Melissa may be running into a little bit of the issue that I do, where I read an article or I see a headline or I read an article. And I'm like, oh, that'd be really good on the show. And your brain starts working in segments, Mel, where you can't help thinking that way. Like, you're just talking to a random person. And you're thinking of your job. Like, oh, this would be really good to bring up on the show. Like, I can't help.
Remember this.
Yeah, yeah. Melissa sent this over the other day. This is a That Ain't Right story, all right. Now, it's National Ranch Dressing Day, and that was on, Ranch Dressing Day?
March 9th.
It was March 9th, yeah. And Hidden Valley came into it with guns blazing. They just announced a new ranch dressing ice cream will be hitting Walmart stores later this month.
What?
It's a limited time thing, so you'll only have 2 months to try it, quote unquote, try it. They'll start selling it on March 20th, and it'll be around through the end of May. They partnered with the ice cream brand Van Leeuwen, which makes lots of weird flavors. They say it has, quote, savory flavors of ranch, including buttermilk, flavored herbs, and a touch of sweetness and regret. No, may have added that last part.
Not dipping carrots in it.
Yes. A few people have tried it, and it sounds like it could be a hit for true ranch lovers. If you like ranch, you might enjoy it. People.com says that there's an oniony smell that's kind of off-putting, but it tasted better than expected.
Writers, better than it smells.
That's not a good sign when it tastes better than expected. That doesn't feel like a selling point to me.
So is a Sunday
some
when
cheeses are like that?
Yeah.
True. Very. That's a good point. Actually, that's a solid point.
Is it a Sunday if you put lettuce on top of it? Then
no, then it becomes a salad.
Yes. Salad Sunday? Who knows?
Writers at foodandwine.com also tried it. One person said there's a major garlic powder taste.
Oh.
But someone else said it's basically a sweeter version of ranch and would be great for with French fries.
Well, that one I would probably try.
Parents are frustrated. Kids are not eating vegetables. They're not eating their salad. This is where we've gotten to. This is where we've pushed parents, people. This is what we've done this to parents. And I'm so sorry, mom and dad. I'm sorry, mom, I should say mom.
So turn it into a milkshake, you know, because people will use milkshake for their fries and things like that. So there you go. Fries and carrots and who knows.
But then you got to drink the rest of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like, it's not like a chocolate frosty from Wendy's.
No.
No.
I don't know.
Are we really running out of that many flavors that we have to go to ranch?
Yeah, that's what it makes you feel like.
Okay, but hold on. The other limited edition flavors that they're doing is a sweet maple cornbread. That sounds good to me.
Uh-huh. That sounds interesting.
I would try that one.
Blood orange chocolate chip.
Ooh.
Carrot cake.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Strawberry shortcake, which has been done a million times, but it's still good. Honey graham cracker. And limoncello cake.
Okay, so.
Limoncello, did you say? Or jello?
Yeah. Nope, limoncello.
Cello.
Cello.
I wonder what the. That's
isn't that a type of alcohol, limoncello?
I think so, but it's also a cookie, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
So those all sound great. So where did the ranch come from then?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think Mel's. I agree with Melissa that it is a that ain't right story. I believe
absolutely. Let's leave ranch with the salads and the sauces. Let's not turn it into an ice
sticks. I mean, ranch is just beautiful on its own.
Yeah, it doesn't need your help. Just let ranch do its thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Just keep letting ranch do its thing. Quit trying to turn it into something it isn't.
Let ranch be ranch.
Just let ranch be your lad. that's our message for today. It's the message of the show.
Just let ranch be
ranch. We shift our gaze to some good stories of the day, and one that I wanted to make sure we touched on today, Beth, is the Winter Farmers Market that you guys host over at the Moravian Church.
Yep, it's still going on every Saturday through April 29th. We get about 10 to 12 vendors regularly. We're hoping to at least one Saturday, max it out. We've got room for like 20 to 25. So if you are a vendor looking for something fun or a great place to interact with people, you know, consider finding us. You can go to our website, wrmoravian.org, find the more section, and underneath there is a drop-down menu for Winter's Farmers Market. There's one just to get information out to you to know when it is, which is Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Accessible to all. We do have a ramp going into the building and an elevator, so you don't have to worry about whether or not you can get there. Once you're there, and then on the website, you can also, there's a section for vendors with an application to be able to know how to get a booth and all of that. And the people that come are having such a good time. It is so nice to see all of the community interaction that's going on there. So even if you're not interested in buying anything, just come check it out. Meet your neighbors. See what's going on. So again, every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Moravian Church.
We love to browse. We love to window shop and those kind of things. And it's nice to be able to do that somewhere there where you could be putting back into your community and supporting your community at the same time. And our ag industry, our farmers, these vendors that work so hard year-round doing this stuff. Mm-hmm.
And we're easily located. I mean, if you know where the Outdoors Winter's Farmers Market is, we're just like a block south.
Yeah.
So we're right by the old mall. Our address is 310 First Avenue South, but the parking lot is on the 3rd Avenue side. Right on Goggins. So come on over and check it out.
You can find out more by going to wrmoravian.org. That's wrmoravian.org. Also encourage you to go to YouTube, type in your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and subscribe to their page. It's a great way to see the Sunday practices that you
Sunday
have.
Services,
Sunday services that you have, Beth, and other great information over there.
We're also on Facebook, both the congregation and the Winter's Farmers Market. So if you want more information, and often on Friday, they'll post a couple of the vendors that'll be there on Saturday. So if you're curious, check out the Wisconsin Rapids Winter's Farmers Market Facebook page.
Our second good story of the day gets me a little bit, and with already kind of cringing in pain here, I'm going to be honest with you guys. This one is going to... I had some people comment over the weekend how very kindly about Terry and I's show Friday and how I got a little emotional with some of the stories and everything. I appreciate that, but that's... If my job is that you guys are able to understand me. If I'm crying and you can't understand me, I'm not doing my job. So while I appreciate that from everybody, I got a job to do, and I should be talking... You know, professionally, I should be speaking clear. This one took, I had to go over a couple of times to make sure I could nail this without tearing up or anything. A 9/11 first responder named Rod Weisenberg is about to start a very long walk this weekend. He's hiking the Appalachian Trail, all 2,200 miles of it, and trying to raise $100,000 for the charity Paws of War. Now, do yourself a favor if you haven't already done this and bookmark the webpage pawsofwar.org. They're the ones who help bring animals back from overseas. His plan is to start in Georgia tomorrow and finish in Maine on September 11th. So 6 months total. If you want to support him, you can donate through pawsofwar.org. That's pawsofwar.org. Incredible organization.
Good for him.
Awesome. A 79-year-old teacher in Oklahoma has been running a 5K every day since the pandemic started, now more than 1,000 days in a row.
Wow.
She says she tried it for a week, and it just became kind of a habit eventually. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just over 3 miles a day. That's wonderful.
Well done. Well done. At first, I thought it was like she was running a 5K, like a charity event. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How do you find all those events?
And I was going to say
that. She's just running.
A lot of organization to that.
Well, that's a lot of
organization. But it's still, I mean, it's great exercise.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And how great is this idea? I mean, this is really cool. A nonprofit called Loose Ends, great name, They launched last summer. They launched last September. If someone passes away, like a grandparent, they'll take their unfinished knitting project and finish it for you.
Aww.
It's free. You just pay for shipping. They've only been around about 6 months, and they've already had over 1,000 volunteers.
Wow, that's a great outreach.
That one hit me, and I don't know a lot. I didn't grow up with a lot of knitters or anything like that, but there's just something so darn beautiful to me about that.
Well, especially if that's something that you remember like a grandparent for.
Yeah.
And if the grandparent was in the middle of making something for you, and then every time that you put that on, you feel that person with you again. So that's just so sweet.
Mm-hmm. And let me speak for knitters everywhere that have so many UFOs in their knitting baskets sitting around their houses. I can't tell you how many of my mother's I found. that I have sitting around waiting to be finished. I can finish them because I know how to knit. But for people that don't and would want that item, that's really cool. I'm glad they're doing that.
Be sure to bookmark the webpage looseendsproject.org. That's looseendsproject.org. If you're curious, want to know more, you'd like to donate, be a part of things, or just find it interesting. I thought it's an awesome website. I just thought it was really cool to even just go through it, let alone to be a part of it. I imagine that's got to be even another level.
Well, and to be able to share those stories, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a good story of the day, you two. You had a great show. You guys did fantastic today. Thank you so much for the great work.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James.
Feel better.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
We'll talk with you guys later, and we'll have more morning show for you tomorrow morning. Stick around for Playmakers coming up in just a few right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.